This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining us today. I don't know if people caught the cover of the New York Post. It was a great cover today. It's a photo of Joe Biden on top of a train. It says, Joe's train wreck. And then it gives a couple bullet points. Gas hits brutal, $6 a gallon. I think it's the highest for the 10th straight day. Border crisis is back. Border crisis gets worse. Ministry of Truth collapses. Market drops 1,164. Worst day in 2 years. Baby formula disaster. And Joe is scratching his head on the train. The only thing I would have added in here is maybe Amtrak Joey's train wreck, because he is a train guy and a car guy, and I think that would have helped.
Joey, baby!
Also, if you're going to use the train thing and the imagery with the train and you're going to call him out, at least mention how many miles he's ridden on the train, because that is his number one brag. He's not even humble about it. He's a braggadocio when it comes to his train riding abilities. Now, it says Ministry of Truth collapses. That's one of the points of this train wreck. And I do want to say that I think a big part of why this is happening is because Elon Musk and other supervillain billionaires are pushing back on this administration and on some of their lies. Elon Musk first did this when he was on the Babylon Bee podcast, and he took shots at Elizabeth Warren, who was claiming that he didn't pay taxes, or that he didn't pay enough taxes. And he came back and said, you know, I've paid more taxes than anyone in history. And so this kind of challenging of the narrative from high profile, powerful people is really trailblazing. It can really do a lot of things as far as the conversation goes. And Elon is keeping at it. He recently tweeted, in the past, I voted Democrat because they were mostly the kindness party, but they have become the party of division and hate, so I can no longer support them and will vote Republican. Now watch their dirty tricks campaign against me unfold. Basically letting people know that it's going to get ugly. And then he followed that up by saying, political attacks on me will escalate dramatically in the coming months. He predicted that the dirty tricks attacks will be next level. And this makes me think of what Chuck Schumer said way back when, which is, you know, these intelligence agencies have 6 ways to Sunday to get back at you. And the left at this point doesn't even hide it. You know, they don't even hide the fact that they're using these institutions to attack individuals who speak out against them. We saw it with Trump. We're going to see it with Elon Musk. We already saw it with Elon Musk. I mean, the day he decided he wanted to try to buy Twitter, there was an investigation into Tesla, like, what, 30 minutes later? They're not even trying to hide it anymore about how they're weaponizing these institutions against people. And when I think of these intelligence agencies, I have to segue into what I think is one of the biggest stories to come out today. And there's a lot of parts of the story that I hadn't heard before. And it's by Miranda Devine. You know, she's one of my favorite writers. She's the author of Laptop from Hell, writes for the New York Post. And her latest piece is titled, Justice Coming for the Dirty 51 Hunter Biden Laptop Liars. Laptop. I said laptop. It's like Tupperware. Tupperware. One of the most galling aspects of the Hunter Biden laptop saga.
I can say quite clearly.
That's my bugaboo, laptop. is that the 51 former intelligence officials who played such a critical role in suppressing the Post stories and giving Joe Biden cover before the 2020 election have never been brought to account. We don't need to go over what this was, even though Miranda does in her column. Basically, they all got together. They wrote this letter that said the Hunter Biden laptop has all the earmarks of Russian disinformation. And Joe Biden took that letter and used it on the debate stage. And he said, 51 intelligence earmarks, Russian disinformation. And everyone, the moderators, everyone just nodded along and said, okay, cool. It's, in other words, it's been debunked. You know, if Clapper is how he likes to call him, if James Clapper and if John Brennan and all of these very, very smart people tell you that something is fake news, that something is disinformation, disinformation, misinformation, malinformation, then of course you're going to disregard it. And now it turns out that as we look back, a lot of people are saying that they would have voted differently had they known that all of this information about Hunter Biden was true. And shame on those people for not doing a little bit more research and not having a little bit more common sense. But still, the facts are still there that these people, these 51 intelligence, former intelligence officials, should be held accountable for lying to the American people, because the lie that they chose to back up was used to suppress a story that could have sank and probably would have sank Joe Biden's presidential ambitions. Now, their lie probably affected the outcome of the 2020 presidential race, Miranda writes, as former Attorney General William Barr has said. Yet they have never apologized or retracted their lie. In fact, Clapper doubled down. Well, he is truly, out of all of those people, I think Brennan is the most reprehensible. He's the one who drives me the most crazy. He's such a liar. He projects everything when he's on MSNBC. He is such a liar. But when it comes to wits, no one is less armed in a fight than James Clapper. That guy contradicts himself like every time he goes on TV. I'm shocked. I think he's, thankfully, he's not like under oath when he goes on all these media hits, because he has backtracked and flip-flopped and you name it a million times. But this is the part I didn't know. One former CIA officer, and shame on me right now for not knowing this, who signed the letter, his name is John Cipher. He boasted that he took special pride in personally swinging the election away from Trump. This is what he wrote on Twitter. He got in a spat with a former Trump official. I lost the election for Trump? Well, then I feel pretty good about my influence. So Miranda writes about the arrogance of these deep staters. And it tells you that they believe they will get away with lying to influence an election. But there's one person. Now, here's the update for you. Because a lot of this stuff, you're like, yeah, I knew this. These guys are jerks. They lie. They suppress the October surprise because they wanted Biden to get in there. Because if Biden gets in there, then everything that they have been doing over the last couple of decades in the swamp is going to go under the rug. Think about the fact that if Trump hadn't won in 2016, all of the things we would never have found out about. And all of the sloppiness, when you think about the lovebirds struck, all that sloppiness, that was the result of people who never thought Trump had a chance. And none of this would have ever come to the surface. That was just the tip of the iceberg. But we never would have found out about it had Trump not won that election. And they were counting on the fact that he wasn't going to. Well, there's one person who's not letting this go. There's one person who doesn't look at those 51 former intelligence agents and say, no big deal. They lied. Who cares? And that would be the man who was never supposed to win, Donald Trump. The former president has sicked Uber attorney Tim Parlador on the Dirty 51. On Wednesday, Parlador launched the first stage of a multi-prong strategy. I love a multi-prong. Love a multi-prong strategy. Thing about Trump's multi-prong strategies, they're a lot more effective than Biden's. Biden's had a couple multi-prongs. As you can tell by how great
I believe
is.
The six-prong attack for COVID was.
Yes. Remember that? What prong are we on now? Is it the same as the steps? How do the prongs work? I don't know. Well, he's got a multi-prong strategy to make those who sign the letter pay for the damage they have wrought to freedom of the press, election integrity, and the welfare of the nation. His goal is to uncover alleged communications between the Dirty 51 and the Biden campaign. Oh, I hope he finds something. I have a feeling some onerous FOIAs are about to be coming towards the Biden campaign or the Biden administration. Parlador began by filing 5 letters of complaint with the agencies that formerly employed the 51, including the CIA. Each letter complains of an egregious breach by former agency employees that appears to have been overlooked by your agency as it has gone uninvestigated and certainly unpunished. Specifically, the unauthorized publication of an intelligence assessment based on classified information allegedly that was used wrongfully to influence the outcome of an election. It points out that each of the Dirty 51 was bound by the lifelong obligation to submit the letter to their former agencies for pre-publication security review to ensure it didn't contain classified information, a process that would have taken several months. The letter then would have been stamped with a disclaimer that the agency was not vouching for its accuracy. That would have destroyed the usefulness of the document. Plus, the process would have been delayed so long it would not have been useful because the election would have been over. To undermine these revelations, 51 former intelligence officials published an intelligence assessment in the form of a letter for dissemination to the American people through the news media. This letter relied on the combined and established credibility of these intelligence officials through collective experience and knowledge of intelligence information, including classified materials, to assess that the laptop was not authentic and has all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation. I'm glad to see this. I'm curious if people think there'll be any justice. Miranda's last line in this column is, justice might be slow, but it is coming. I don't know about that. I hope she's right, though. She's been right before, so I hope she's right again. 844-500-4242. Still time to grab a Grace's Goodies. We have a few left for Moby Dick's. If you weren't able to grab one yesterday, I know they sold out really fast during Howie's show. This is your second chance to get a $50 gift card to Moby Dick's for only $25. That's half off. So get it now while supplies last. We'll be right back. Special guest coming up. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It is Friday, Junior, and we're getting towards the end of the week. Tomorrow we have a very exciting remote, and we do this every year. It's the Toyota of Portsmouth remote. Joining me now from Toyota of Portsmouth is Jim Boyle. Jim, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Grace. Looking forward to tomorrow.
I'm so looking forward to this. Everyone knows I have a RAV4. I got it at Toyota of Portsmouth. I love it. It's a great place to go. They have a beautiful showroom. And we always have a really fun show when we come to Toyota. It's from 12 to 6. I'll be there at the beginning, and I'll be there until 6 o'clock. Howie joins me a little bit later on in the day. And Jim, by the looks of it, we're going to have a beautiful day tomorrow.
That's always nice on the seacoast. You know that. And Portsmouth is just a great place. The seacoast of New Hampshire is a hidden gem, as we like to call it.
It absolutely is, and I think we're going to have a really fun day tomorrow. Tell people what they can expect if they stop by, what they can see at Toyota of Portsmouth.
Well, you know, lately with this, all the things going on in the world, the inventory has been an issue, but we do have the Toyota you want. We have a very good selection of used cars. If you don't see it on the lot, you can always check the incoming inventory on our ToyotaofPortsmouth.com website. And then, you know, again, if you don't even see it there, we'll work with you to order the one you truly want and track it together until it gets here. And I'm sure everyone listening knows with the price of gas, your Toyota hybrid might be the way to go. And with 11 different ones, including the minivan. And soon we'll have a hybrid Tundra and Sequoia. So, you know, with gas on the rise, as we like to say, it's always time for a new Toyota, right?
Yes, and you guys have a great team there too, Jim. Special shout out to Brad. He's my favorite. But you guys have so many nice people at Toyota of Portsmouth. Will there be a lot of people there tomorrow in case people need some help finding what car works for them?
We'll have a full staff on hand. And, you know, everyone knows Grace is coming and and that other guy. But then, you know, it should be fun, though. It's we've already warned the service department that you might need your car looked at. So that's always it's always interesting to see what happened to Grace's car in the last year.
Yes, we'll check that off our list. And also what we like to do is sometimes we work the plows, sometimes we check out the cars, but it's always a fun time. Everyone should stop by. We have people who come every single year. This is their favorite remote. It's Toyota of Portsmouth. We'll be there tomorrow from 12 to 6. We'll have tons of t-shirts. Make gas cheap again. Let's go, Brandon. Any t-shirt you want, there's no better place to get it than the remote tomorrow. Jim, thank you so much, and we cannot wait to see you. We look forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I do too. Can't wait.
All right. That's Jim Boyle from Toyota of Portsmouth. Make sure you stop by tomorrow to see Howie and myself. I'll be there at 12 o'clock. If you want to come by early, it always makes me so happy to see people show up early to watch my show. And there's going to be some treats and some goodies, and you can come on by and have a really, really fun day. All right, Jared, let's do the poll question here. Actually, you know what? What we should do, too, is that we were just talking about gas, make gas cheap again. Doesn't look like it's going to get cheap anytime soon. But I have an answer for that. You can win the $50 gas money giveaway. All you have to do is go to gracecurlyshow.com, enter your email to win. Every day I give away $50 of gas to a winner. And again, you just got to go to gracecurlyshow.com. Totally free. You just enter your email and I pick one every day. Howie picks one every day and we read it off. Today's winner is Andy from Lunenburg, Massachusetts.
You won! You did it!
Congratulations, Andy. Keep an eye out for an email from store@howiecarshow.com with instructions. Jared, when we get back, what I want to talk about is some of these abortion committee hearings that were going on yesterday, because I do think this is backfiring. And also, on top of that, Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about these threats. There was a leaked memo from DHS that talked about threats from peaceful, passionate protesters who were threatening to burn down the Supreme Court. And she was asked by the one horse pony who these threats were coming from, which side of the aisle. You know, was it the pro-lifers? Was it the pro-abortion people? And she did give an answer, but it wasn't the answer that I expected. I thought for sure we were going to just get it's Trump people. You know, it's the January 6th type of people. It's the people who stormed the Capitol. It's the Lego collecting kind of people. But that is not what she said. So we'll play that sound. We'll also play a little bit of this Patrice Cullors interview that she had with a podcast from MSNBC. So I would consider that a bit of journalism in the news. We will play that for you. We'll take your calls. Let's play one more cut, though, from Josh Hawley before we go. We're talking about gas. He's pushing back on Secretary Granholm. This is cut 23.
It is not administration policies that have affected supply and demand.
How can you say that when the price of gas was up over 30% from January? You answer my questions, and it's my time, Madam Secretary, so why don't you answer my question? From January to August, the price of gasoline was up over 30%. In my state alone, it has been a continuous upward tick since then. And here's what your president did when he first came to office. He immediately re-entered the Paris Climate Accord. He canceled the Keystone Pipeline. He halted leasing programs in ANWR. He issued a 60-day halt on all new oil and gas leases and drilling permits on federal lands and waters. That's nationwide. That accounts, by the way, for 25% of U.S. oil production. He directed federal agencies to eliminate all supports for fossil fuels. He imposed new regulations on oil and gas and methane emissions. Those were all just in the first few days. Are you telling me that's had no effect?
And he's just getting started. Senator Josh Hawley, we'll keep playing these cuts when we come back. Weigh in now. We got the rest of the show open for calls. 844-500-4242.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. It has been a while since we've had a journalism in the news moment. And I love to put a spotlight on the media, on these journalists who are always doing such brave work. So, Jared, could we please have a little journalism in the news?
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change the reporting and they had to apologize and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
All right, so for people who have not been following the Black Lives Matter scandal, they're having a little bit of difficulty with... with an organization you might be familiar with, the IRS. And Patrice Cullors, who is the founder, one of the founders of Black Lives Matter, she has been embroiled in this mushrooming scandal. Do you see that I read a lot of the New York Post now because I like to use these words? And the Daily Mail. It's a mushrooming scandal. There's a lot of layers to it. And the real tipping point, I think, for when people started to say, maybe something's not right here, is when she was buying millions of dollars worth of property and Black Lives Matter wasn't really spending a lot of money on social justice from what the outside observer could see. Well, Patrice Cullors is on a podcast with MSNBC. It's called Into America. I've never heard of this podcast, but I'm going to play some of it for you now. I'm guessing that this Trymaine Lee person is the host?
Yes.
Okay, so Trymaine Lee is talking to Patrice Cullors, and let's just start from the top. This is cut one.
Black Lives Matter, and Patrice in particular, have become a target for racists and the far right, with enemies who've burned Black Lives Matter flags, threatened her life, and weaponized the movement, and these messy money matters to try and tear it all down.
All right, so
He said it!
That was really, like, I would say the trifecta, but it was more than three. That was a lot of different classic liberal tactics to not have to answer for any crimes or wrongdoings of a person. As you say, let's see, weaponized, your race is being weaponized against you. It's racism. You're getting death threats. You could really take all of that same... You could take those same talking points and use it for Nina Jankowicz because they're using the same type of thing. I'm being held accountable for being wrong in the past. And so rather than own up to it, I'm going to blame racism. And that's exactly what Patrice wants to do. So let's take her first response out of the gate. This is cut two.
Do you think you've been given the grace to be a human person who is still trying to move through all this?
Some people for sure, you know, because there's a difference between sort of the public, you know, and how the public is treating me. And there's a difference between how people like in my circle that I love and trust. And so, yeah, there are some people. I was just texting a good friend of mine. And she, you know, she was sharing some feedback for me and I was listening and she was like, I love you. I'm not going to abandon you. We're here. I know how hard it is right now for you. And then, you know, then there's Candace Owens showing up to my front doorstep.
that's a whole different chapter. That's something else.
Yeah.
Hold on a second, because I've heard Patrice mention this before, that Candace showed up to her front doorstep. When Taylor Loren showed up to Libs of TikTok's front doorstep, I was told that's journalism. That's gumshoe journalism. That's what you're supposed to do. But now, what is it? 2 weeks later, it's bad again? Okay, got it. I'm just trying to keep track. Let's move on to what I think might be my favorite cut here. This is Patrice talking about who's giving this money. Where is this money coming from? This is cut four.
Like, were there checks and balances in place to make sure that the funding was being directed in the proper ways?
Yes, it was a major shock. It was also a lot of like, oh, wait, this, I did not see that coming. You know, contrary to what, you know, has been reported, much of the funding that came in was from individual donors. That was a lot of white guilt money. It was a lot of white folks being like, we just got to put the money.
That's that good guilt. $90 million worth of guilt. That's a lot of good. that's good guilt.
If you gave money to Black Lives Matter and you don't feel like you're a sucker, I got news for you. I'm real talk here. I'm going to tell you something. Full stop. You're a sucker. Because Patrice is buying property in Topanga Canyon in California and laughing at you for having white guilt and giving this organization your money. And they've used this money, allegedly, to have inauguration parties for Kamala and Joe. Her son had a birthday party. It's ridiculous. And I've never heard of a charity making fun of the people who donated to them. That to me, I'm not a businesswoman.
Good guilt, Grace. I'm not good guilt.
I'm not a business person. I don't claim to be. But if I was running a charity, I think I'd be a little bit nicer to the people who are giving money to the charity. But it seems like, so maybe the same people who are giving this money, this guilt money, are now turning on Patrice. Is that what I'm to gather here? All right, let's play one more and then we'll go to the callers. Jared, just play whichever one you think is best. You got to pick one.
Because some of the allegations are that there was some funny blurring of the lines there, which is concerning for a lot of people who believe in even what you're doing. They're still a little concerned.
Of course. No, it's not. And I want to say something, though, even before I answer that question. I should have took a salary from Black Lives Matter because it would be less confusing for people. And I regret that I didn't. But I didn't because, one, I didn't plan on staying as ED forever. I was like, I have a lot of different jobs. I literally have five different jobs. And I was like, I'm going to come in. I'm going to support this organization. I'm going to let it, you know, we'll pay other people to do this thing. This is going to be like my volunteer work. And then I'm going to go out. I'm going to leave. And that didn't happen. So I think that has been really challenging.
Oh, so what we are supposed to get from this conversation is that the reason the IRS is very nervous about Black Lives Matter, the reason people have turned on Black Lives Matter, is not because she's throwing parties at a $6 million mansion for Joe Biden's inauguration. It's actually because she's too giving, she's too generous with her time, and she cares too much. And so really, in this situation, I don't know which road to go down. Do I take the path of Patrice is a hero, or do I take the path of Patrice is the victim? Or is she some sort of combination of both? There's a hero if you look inside your heart. You don't have to be afraid of what you are. No, you don't. You don't. Don't be afraid to be a hero and to throw the party for Kamala and Joe and to buy the $6 million mansion.
I don't like grifters in general, but the disdain that I now feel after listening to that podcast.
Yeah, Jared has listened to the whole thing.
For that whole organization, even for Trymaine Lee, the interviewer, the disdain that I have for this whole situation is magnificent. Shall we say?
You know what, Jared? Well, here's what I'm going to say to you. You sound like you are weaponizing what you've heard. You sound like this is a racist thing coming out of you right now. And I think you owe Patrice an apology. We will not have this slander on my show. Absolutely not.
I apologize to Patrice. You are truly a queen.
And you know what, Jared? You know what you should do? You
for
should
the people.
You should donate for some the money. People. You should donate some money to Black Lives Matter. Some white guilt money. 844-500-4242. Baxter, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Baxter.
Hey, Grace. It's always great to talk to you. And I just wanted to give you a couple of questions, and then I'll hang up and let you respond. Is it okay?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So first question is, I watched that congressional hearing where the witness, the pro-choice witness, was asked if men can get pregnant and then they can have abortions, and she said yes. You saw that, right?
Yes, I did. That, I believe, was Amy Arambide.
Amy Arambide, correct. So the first question is, if that's the case, then do now men have a legitimate voice at the table over this issue? That's the first question. And the second question is about gasoline, and I want to ask your opinion on this. Do you think, you know, when you watch an MMA fight, and I don't know, I'm not big on the lingo, but like the double naked chokehold. I mean, you know when someone's going to tap out. You can see it. Oh, man, the tap's coming. Do you think that the Democrats, when it comes to gas, will ever get to, like, you know, $6, $7, $8 a gas? You think that is ever a number that they'll just tap out, or do you think they're just so crazy that they would pay $10, $12 a gallon for gas and never give in?
Those are both really good questions. Number one, as far as if men can have an opinion on abortion, we were always told no uterus, no opinion.
Birthing people.
Now that men can have babies, I would say yes. You know, logically, if you were to go 1 + 1 = 2, men can now have babies, so therefore they can have opinions. That would be the logical response. But I'm going to still say no. I'm going to say that no. I think men who can have babies can have opinions, but men who can't have babies still cannot have opinions, especially if those opinions are pro-life. That would be number one. Number two, as far as the tap out goes, again, I think I'm going to say no, because we're hitting 10 and there's no signs really of slowing down. In fact, Baxter, Secretary Granholm, who has laughed about this in the past, she was going back and forth with Senator Josh Hawley, and he really was just holding her feet to the fire. But I don't think these people care. It's go buy a Tesla. You know, if you drove an electric vehicle, you wouldn't have these issues. And this is all part of their transition into cleaner fuel. You know, this is the transition. We're going through the transitory period. How long is it going to last? How long is it going to hurt? It's like inflation. Could be here for a couple weeks, could be here for a couple years, but it's temporary. And soon, when you go through this pain, you'll come out on the other side and you'll be riding a unicorn that's fueled by corn syrup, and nothing will be wrong. Can I have cut 24, please? This is
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
This is Senator Josh Hawley.
94% of the oil and gas executives that were surveyed by the Dallas Fed said that administration policies had nothing to do with the increase in the price of oil.
I'm not interested in opinions of these people. I'm interested in the facts. Are you telling me that these policies had no effect? Is that your testimony that these policies had no effect? Are you telling me, Madam Secretary, are you telling me under oath that these policies had no effect?
I'm telling you that 94% of the oil and gas industry.
I'm not interested in their opinion. I'm interested in the facts.
So, no, they did not ask.
That is a remarkable statement.
About the increase in demand and the decrease in supply from pulling Russian barrels of oil off the market, thanks to rightly the United States saying we're not going to take Russian oil. Coming out of COVID.
So, what explains the increase between January and August?
Coming out of COVID. Coming out of COVID, there was an increase in demand. Because people were driving again. When there was no demand, the prices dropped. That is a basic law of economics. The prices dropped.
I have to say, Madam Secretary, with all due respect, your answers are insulting. And they are insulting to the people of Missouri who are looking for action.
I agree. Everything about this administration is insulting. And to top it all off, if the answers aren't bad enough, you're supposed to be happy about it. Supposed to be grateful. Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
How much longer do you think Karine Jean-Pierre will last as press secretary? 0 to 3 months, 3 to 6 months, or 6 months plus?
0 to 3.
0 to 3 in the lead, 57%, 28% for 3 to 6 months, and only 15% for 6 months plus.
The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack is back. This is the best value you're going to get. It's a great product. We still get asked all the time if it really works. It does, and it works for so many different things, which is why it's great to have three. It can work in the basement. It can work in the car. It can work in the kitchen. If you have a coworker, a boss who likes to microwave things, the microwave is tricky, Jared, because if you microwave fish, you're going to smell it.
It does not go away unless, just like what I did there, unless you have the Impure Thunderstorm, because what the Thunderstorm does, and that separates it from other products that just cover up odors or make the air smell like flowers, the Thunderstorm actually purifies the air. It sends out ions, which ionizes, it creates a super oxygen, and that is what eliminates allergens, pollutants, odors, even some viruses that might be hanging out in the air. So if your boss microwaves, you know, clam chowder the next day and it smells, You don't have to worry about it because you have the thunderstorm.
Yeah, get the 3-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code GRACE3. Shipping is free. We'll be right back with Howard Lawrence Carr. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Today's car crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Joining us right now is Howard Lawrence Carr. Howie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Grace.
What do you have planned for your Friday, Junior?
We're going to go. I think we're going to talk more about the dominatrix of disinformation. We've got some more stuff on her, and we're going to talk about the Sussman trial. And I may talk about this new phenomenon called leftuges.
Leftuges. I've seen this. These are people
fleeing.
Like in Palm Beach, you probably run into a lot of leftuges.
Right. And people, in my neighborhood, people have been dropping those pamphlets on the cars with New York plates saying, enjoy our state, but please go home.
It's the biggest worry of people who live in a normal, free place that when these liberals come, because they hear about how great it is, they're going to bring their voting habits with them. And you've talked about that a lot.
Right. It's very concerning. The concerns are fading in Florida because things are so rotten in the blue states that people are sobering up to a degree. I mean, not just in Florida, it's okay. I don't know about places like Tennessee, North Carolina. You know, I don't know. It's an evolving paradigm, to coin a phrase.
See, Florida is a very interesting case of this because on the one hand, everyone's moving there. But on the other hand, we hear that the governor is the worst person since Donald J. Trump. And those two things, they can't really exist at the same time. If it's that bad, why are all these Democrats leaving New York, leaving California? There's no U-Hauls. That's how fast they're coming, Howie. There's no U-Hauls left to bring there.
Right, right. Today, DeSantis said that Biden should be an honorary member of the Mexican drug cartels for all the work he's done bringing fentanyl into the country. And I have noticed that no fact checkers have challenged that.
I would agree. And you know what else I would say? Remember they used to say about Obama that he was the number one gun salesman because of the way he attacked the NRA? Well, Biden is like the number one tourist salesman for Florida.
Right. I know. And you know that they talk about the problem of COVID. You know what the number one killer of Americans between the ages of 18 and 45 is?
I could take a guess.
Take a guess.
Is it fentanyl?
It is. It is. And since Obama and Holder began winding down the war on drugs in 2013, the black mortality rate from drugs has quadrupled. Quadrupled. But they're worried about white supremacy.
Well, you know, Elizabeth Warren is talking about the 5-alarm fire that is abortion rights. So to say their priorities are a little off right now is an understatement. All right, Howie Carr is coming up next. He's got a great show planned. I'll be back tomorrow for our Friday show at Toyota Portsmouth. And don't forget, you can go to GraceCurlyShow.com and get a Grace's Goodies from Moby Dicks. See you tomorrow.